Good morning, Jerry.
We are talking to you about Port Albert in the context of significant events in Gippsland, and I suppose the development of Port Albert as a major gateway in and out of Gippsland. For those coming in very late, how significant was it?
It was most significant. It allowed the farming and squatting community of Gippsland to have a port where they could get their produce out and bring in their supplies and so on. Prior to that, Gippsland had been settled overland from the Monaro High Plains of New South Wales down to Lake Omeo, and droughts in the 1830s led the squatting community to move further south, and they needed an outlet, and Angus McMillan, maybe a controversial figure in some ways, but he was given the task of finding a route through to Corner Inlet, which he duly did in February of 1841, which then enabled trade out of Port Albert, mainly to Tasmania, because at that time they had closed the penal settlement in Sydney and moved it all to Point Arthur, and there was a demand for fresh meat and produce that couldn't be met in Tasmania, and Port Albert was ideally situated to supply that.
So it became a gateway for produce. But when we, I just want again to, I guess, try and paint a bit of a picture. We visit Port Albert now, and it's a sleepy, sweet little almost seaside hamlet. How busy and thriving might it have been back in the 1840s through to the 1860s?
Quite thriving. However, it was always the port. Nearby Tarraville was the main town social centre because it was on the fresh water of the Tarra River and had grazing land where the squatting community could fatten up their livestock before bringing it to Port Albert. So Port Albert was only the port. It probably never had a population of many more than 250 people.
But it would have had, it obviously had a significant body of traffic that would come through.
Maybe
we can quantify it there.
Somewhere I read, I think, in the early 1860s, there were about 8 bullock drays lined up for each ship that came in. And at that stage, the amount of shipping in and out of Port Albert rivaled the then Melbourne.
Good Lord.
The advent of gold being discovered in Gippsland was probably the next big significant. Initially, it was the trade in and out of Port Albert. And then when gold was discovered in Gippsland, Port Albert had added significance because a lot of the equipment for the gold mines and supplies and so on came in through Port Albert. The big water wheel at Walhalla came into Port Albert and was wheeled behind the bullock team up to Walhalla. And the gold from Gippsland came down to Port Albert, stored in this Bank of Victoria where the museum is, and then shipped off to Melbourne. And the height of that, an average of 1,000 ounces of gold a week, was coming to Port Albert. So that gave Port Albert a big boost.
There was enormous wealth at that time, wasn't there?
Relative
to today, but also even today. I mean, 1,000 ounces of gold a week is a significant amount of material.
It's a lot of gold. It was coming from East Gippsland and Grant and a large amount from Walhalla. But that didn't last for very long.
Yes.
By 1870, they'd conquered the Fainting Ranges and the Kurri-Rup Swamps, and there was much better road access to Melbourne. And the Lakes Entrance Bar had its first opening, so that the shipping for East Gippsland and could go in through the lakes and down as far as the Port of Sale.
Is there documentation at that time of a feeling that Port Albert is going to lose out? Like, are there notices, are there articles in newspapers or letters that are in the museum, these sorts of things, that we need to, as a community, do something, or as a location, do something? Or was it sort of all too fast for them to respond?
I mean, I think that's the beauty of our maritime museum.
Nice plug.
Hey?
Nice plug.
that does give a very good insight into the history of Port Albert, its rises and falls and declines. Yeah.
We're interested in significance, in inverted commas, of historical events and whatever.
The founding of Port Albert was very significant.
If we hadn't had Port Albert founded, if for some reason that inlet wasn't there and that port structure, that port capability wasn't there, what might have happened? This is a favourite of some historians these days. What would happen if Port Albert hadn't been there? Would the development of Gippsland, the cattle trade, have simply found another outlet, or would it have been held back? Or what's your sense of that?
It probably would have been retarded. It would have. They would have had to have found some form of port. It was almost impossible in the early days to go by road between Gippsland and Melbourne. It was an arduous and long trip. They may have perhaps opened up on the mouth of the Snowy at Orbost, or maybe gone through as far as Western Port, but Port Albert was...
It was perfectly located, really, wasn't it?
It was perfectly located for trade across to Tasmania. So I think it was most significant that Port Albert was opened up.
And
there was talk of opening up Welshpool, which is a better port, but it was an extra day's travel, so they favoured Port Albert.